is any visitors, please make yourselves known to us. For those listening at home, the service has been led by Stuart, and Jeff is playing the organ. Our reader this morning is Peter Beale. Just want to remind you that there will be a brief church meeting straight after this morning's service. We would be very grateful if all could stay for that short meeting. And there is one correction to the weekly news, which probably you all picked up when it read that Barbara Phillips should, of course, have been Andrea Phillips. So that was obviously a spot deliberate mistake. So I will now light the Christ candle and we'll have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Good morning, Emmanuel. Good morning. Welcome to our service of worship this morning. The psalmist writes, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what are mortals that you should be mindful of them? Mere human beings, that you should seek them out. You have made them little lower than angels. You adorn them with glory and honour. Amen." As I came into church, I was given a list of things to do that I might have forgotten or perhaps weren't mentioned to me. I'm going to go through some of that list as we go through the service. So that'll keep you interested if nothing else does. Most of our hymns this morning are from Rejoice and Sing. There is one from Sing Praise, which you won't be familiar with, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But for now, we're going to sing number 72, Now Thank We All Our God. Number 72 in Rejoice and Sing. First item on my list of things that I was given as I came into church is the peace candle. And we're going to light that today as we do every Sunday. War is the worst of the human condition. Conflict is the worst of us. And as Christians, we strive to be the best of us, to avoid war and to bring love and hope and peace into the world. And if you know your history, it's a world where the conditions are ripe not just for conflicts in Ukraine, Yemen, and many other places in the world. We see hyperinflation, we see hunger, we see want. And these are the conditions that grow, the sorts of things which make us the worst that we can be. So as well as praying for peace when we light the peace candle, we pray for ourselves, our communities, and all those affected by things which produce those conditions for conflict. Let's pray. Lord, we are fallible humans and often given to hate as our first response, but you taught us how to love. And with the light of the Christ candle, now in the peace candle, help us to share the light of love. Amen. And we will now do some more prayers. Prayers of confession and approach, where we bring the things to God to help still our minds for this service. Let us pray together. Lord God, in a universe that seems so immense that it is easy to feel insignificant as we stand here today, yet we know that we are precious in your sight. Unique individuals, loved and blessed in so many ways. We stand in awe of the one who has created all things and dedicate this time and all our days to your service. Accept this offering, we pray, our sacrifice of praise and worship. The warmth of the sun's embrace, the gentle breeze swept in by the incoming tide, the rhythm of the seasons of new birth, death, and recreation. All these speak so clearly of your love, your power, and your beauty. All are expressions of your creativity, and more importantly, of yourself. An artist might share their personality with each brushstroke. So within the myriad colours of a butterfly's wing, you share your exuberance of your love. That we can glimpse you within creation is a beautiful thought, but also tells us that you desire to be seen, to be found, and to be known. Open our eyes, Lord, as we walk through this world. Feel the wind and sunshine, and see the majesty of creation unfolding before our eyes. Help us to see you. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and our despair, and we lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, we hold out hearts and hands, minds and souls to feel your touch and know the peace that only you can bring. God of healing, God of wholeness, this precious moment in your presence and power, grant us faith and confidence that here broken lives are made whole. You grant us faith when our hearts are troubled, perseverance when the going is tough, peace when our spirits are low, strength enough. You grant us hope when all seems hopeless, your forgiveness when tempted to sin, hands reaching out to embrace and welcome us in. For peace, faith, hope, and your embrace, we give you thanks. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is the first Sunday after Pentecost, which we celebrated last week. And Trinity Sunday celebrates the three aspects of God: God the Father, God the Son, or Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And we invoke the Holy Trinity every Sunday when we say the grace, and today will be no different. We'll say the grace later. So put simply, the Trinity is a bit like an egg. Just as one egg has three parts, so one God has three persons. So the egg has the shell, the white, and the yolk, and God has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure if you had an egg for breakfast, you'll now be wishing you'd shown it a bit more respect. But just like you can't have an egg without one of those elements alone, so it is with the Trinity. Each third makes up the whole. And that's going to be our theme this morning. And we're going to sing another hymn, not about eggs, we're going to sing about God. It's Rejoice and Sing number 32, God is in His Temple.
Thank you.
second thing on my list this morning that I was given as I came into the church was, oh, Stuart, tell everyone about the flowers down the front. And here they are. We've got some lovely flowers down the front here. It looks like a spring hedgerow or a summer hedgerow. It's absolutely lovely. Obviously, it's too tall to put on the table. It might topple over. But before you leave, come down and have a look at them. Will that do, Edith? Thank you very much. And now we continue our service with our offering for God's work. Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God of the Trinity, take these offerings that we give, our time and our talents, to use in this church, to your will, to help us here, to help our wider community, to spread the word and the good news of your love. Amen. Amen. And now let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Yeah, should put some coins on top. We'll get that later. We're going to continue our service now with John Rutter's setting of The Piece of Cod. And I'm going to even up the tenors a bit. But I'll switch this off, otherwise you'll only hear one.
Thank you. There are two readings this morning, one from each testament. The first one is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and from verses 22 to 31. My child, if you have given your pledge to your neighbor, if you have bound yourself to another, you are snared by the utterance of your lips, caught by the words of your mouth. So do this, my child, and save yourself, for you have come into your neighbor's power. Go, hurry, and plead with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep, and your eyelids no slumber. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the wife of another, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For a prostitute's fee is only a loaf of bread, but the wife of another stalks a man's very life. Can fire be carried in the bosom without burning one's clothes? Or can one walk on hot coals without scorching the feet? So is he who sleeps with his neighbor's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Thieves are not despised who steal only to satisfy their appetite when they are hungry. Yet if they are caught, they will pay sevenfold. They will forfeit all the goods of their house. The second reading is from the Gospel of St. John. I didn't give the page number on the other one, but I hope you followed it. It's on page 107, this one, of the New Testament. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is the end of the second reading. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
All right. Yes, it was the wrong one. Don't worry about it now. Don't worry about it now. It's too late to worry about it once you're up here. It was the wrong reading from Proverbs, but you read it so nicely. I really didn't want to interrupt you. Well, we're going to find out in the next 5 minutes. The reading I had chosen from Proverbs talked about wisdom, specifically God's wisdom in its personified voice. And what was interesting about it, it personifies God's wisdom as female rather than male, which probably tells you a lot about the church. But don't worry about it, because this reflection is about confusion. So it's great that we're confused. Unlike God, humans have our limits. So let's talk about that confusion. As I mentioned earlier, this is Trinity Sunday. And the Trinity is one of those odd things in the Christian faith that we're expected to know what it is, but often it's a difficult concept for us to understand. How can God be three persons? Why are there three different elements that make up what we think of as God? And why three? Why not six or more? It's very confusing. And this morning has been confusing. And when I looked up for some definition to use about the Trinity, I was even more confused. And perhaps that's God's will. Perhaps that's God leaving us with an element of mystery. We need to leave room for mystery in our lives. I think last time I was here, I was talking about locked room mysteries. And we need something mysterious, something in faith that perhaps is recognizing the fact that we don't always understand everything. Anyway, the Trinity boils down to the fact that God is confusing, Jesus is confusing, and the Holy Spirit is very confusing indeed. And I really didn't know how to pick this theme up because of the confusion. So I went to the internets, because the internets are always right. And I found some definitions. Trinity comes from two word parts, tri meaning three, and unity meaning as one. The concept of Trinity is that we have God in three forms, a union of three. First we have God, that's the one that we generally think of as the Father, the all-powerful one that lives up in heaven and either judges us mercilessly or loves us endlessly, depending on who you ask. Be careful who you ask. Second, we have the Son of God, Jesus, or God in human form on earth. He's the one who walked this planet blamelessly, performing miracles, extending mercy, and most importantly, love. And Jesus is the one whose life we all try to copy. Thirdly and finally, we have the Holy Spirit, which is also God and also Jesus, and that's what lives in our hearts and our minds, guiding us through life. Three separate beings, all rolled up into one entity. It's obvious that the Trinity is really important to the Christian faith because it's the framework for one of the oldest texts in the Christian faith that crosses multiple denominations, and that's the Apostles' Creed. Written in the 5th century, it's one of those things that seems to be common in both the Catholic Church and the Protestant denominations. We don't share many things, but this is one of the things that we do. And many churches say it every Sunday morning, and I'm going to say it now. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And remember, it's a small c for Catholic. Catholic in that sense meaning universal, something that is of us all. And the Trinity is important to Christians because it reminds us that God is all-powerful. It walked the earth as a perfect human, and it can relate to our pain and also our lives today, and it lives in our hearts. And one of the ways in which we try to explain the Trinity is with an object lesson, and we did that earlier when I told you about the egg. Remember, the egg is the shell, the yolk, and the white, and the Trinity is God, Jesus, and the Spirit. However, that in itself isn't a perfect illustration. After all, each of the examples of the eggs gives us an idea that God is made up of three parts, and that's not really true. The Holy Spirit isn't like an egg yolk. because the egg yolk is only one part of the egg, whereas the Holy Spirit isn't one part of God, the Holy Spirit is all of God, as God is all of God, and Jesus was all of God. And that's where trying to find examples in our own world falls a bit short. Because God is different. God really isn't made up of parts. Each element of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is the entire package, the whole thing. And if this concept of Trinity is still a mystery to you, please don't worry. It's something that has puzzled many of the greatest philosophers and minds, and continues to puzzle to this day. It puzzles me. And I'd suggest, if you are still confused, that you take perhaps a different approach, and as we said earlier, celebrate the mystery of it all. Be cool with leaving the service with more questions than you have answers. After all, the Trinity is a difficult thing for us to get a grip on and understand. And perhaps we must ignore that urge to tie everything up with a nice little bow, chocolate box style. Because life, as we know, isn't neat. And that's perhaps also true of faith. Faith can be messy, difficult, hard to understand, but it doesn't stop us trying. Faith is recognizing that we don't have all the answers all the time. And faith is deciding that it's okay to keep believing and growing, even without answers. And don't bother coming to church trying to find the perfect answer to everything. You won't find it here. And it's okay to admit that you don't know everything. And for me, faith has always been about questions rather than answers, about uncertainty rather than a pure truth. So what does Jesus say about the Trinity? Funnily enough, the word Trinity is never explicitly mentioned in the Bible. However, countless scriptures mention all three forms of God, and the most popular is probably the one found in the Great Commission from Matthew, which goes, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We know that Christ rose from the grave, appeared to the disciples, and gave them a job to do. Preach God's word and God's love to everyone. And we know this from our Easter readings over the past few weeks, that the Spirit came down and entered them and helped them to go out into the world to do that. God the Trinity, whatever the Trinity is, entered them and strengthened their resolve for the task which they had ahead. And it does so to us today. And Jesus said in our reading from the Gospel of John, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you all into truth. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The passage expresses the notion that we will go out into this world and do God's work, not fully understanding what we are required to do. As Jesus continues, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now." In effect, Jesus asks us to take a leap of faith through that mysterious thing that we don't quite understand, and perhaps learn on the job. How many of us have done that? And in learning on the job, we may well come to some sort of wisdom in the end. We have to take it on faith that the Spirit, the Trinity, is within us, guiding us on a Christian path. We might not understand it. We might not understand what that means, or indeed what it does. But it will help us when we encounter the glory of God, be it in a church, be it on the street, in a hospital, in our own homes, anywhere. And we'll know that God's love is there because the Holy Spirit is always with us, guiding us, those three elements together, to help us see God's love. Now, I wasn't quite sure how to finish this sermon, so for a change, and as it's sunny, I decided to do something in honour of our dear and departed missed friend and fellow Welshman, Alan Owens, and I thought I'd finish with a joke, probably told by Alan himself, and it's about making someone a disciple. So here we go. Two monks are being chased by a hungry lion, and as they run, they cry out to God, yelling, "Please, Lord, convert this lion into a Christian!" And they run, pursued by the beast, until they reach a dead end. They can't go any further. And the lion sees this and prowls and slowly approaches. And with nowhere to go, the monks cry out even louder, "Please, Lord, hear our prayers and convert this lion into a Christian." And suddenly, as if by divine intervention, the lion stops walking and the monks praise God. And the lion kneels down and he puts his paws together and says, "Bless us, O Lord, and these gifts which we are about to receive through thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen." Amen. The third and final thing on my list was actually a message handwritten by Jeff's fair hand. We're going to sing Sing Praise 104. It's not one that you know, so the choir are going to sing the first verse, and once they've sung that, we will join in with all the verses from verse 1. So, Sing Praise 104. Finished my list of things now. The prayers of intercession are a bit like a list of things. It's a list we have for God, but they're also things that we need to reflect on. And I think through prayer we can make our own contribution to what we ask for the world. Let us pray together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we call on you today to make yourself known in our world. We ask that you work through us to make a better world a reality which values love and forgiveness for all your people. Creator God, where the world's poorest communities cry out against the effect of global warming and rising sea levels, and the effects that these are having on their harvests, their livelihoods, and their communities, we pray for all working to combat climate change, those in government and those protesting on the streets, and we also acknowledge our own responsibility to respect and honour the Earth's resources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, where people cry out against warfare, conflict, oppression, and the violation of human rights, and where people are forced to leave their homeland to seek a better future, we pray that you will change the hearts of the leaders of the nations, that they may seek peace, justice, and equality for those that they are called to serve. We remember today the people of the Ukraine, of Yemen, of Syria, Afghanistan, and the countless places of conflict throughout the world, the countless breaches of human rights, those things that would give us dignity and hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Liberating God, where people cry out against discrimination due to difference of race, colour, class, gender, or sexuality, we pray for inclusion, acceptance, and freedom from stigma of any kind. May we live up to our commitment to offer belonging and welcome to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, where people cry out in their suffering because of illness, bereavement or hardship, where families or relationships are under pressure through rising prices, rising inflation, unemployment or debt, bring these people alongside them who can offer advice and help. And we pray for those going through difficult and tough times. May they know the comfort of your presence, your love, and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Commissioning God, where Christians or non-Christians cry out through persecution or through discrimination, where people struggle to hold onto their faiths in an increasingly secular society, and when we lose heart. Call us again and give us a new vision of your greatness and glory. On this Trinity Sunday, we pray for this church, the Old Town Parish, and the churches throughout the world, that in all they plan and seek to do, that they may be led and inspired by the Trinity of you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is from Rejoice and Sing, number 499. Have faith in God, my heart. 499.
Thank you.
Fourth thing has just been added to my list. Remind you to remain in church for the very short church meeting, which will happen straight after the service. We'll let the choir get changed. Go forth from this place with enthusiastic faith in God, in one another, and until we meet again. May the Trinity of love, Creator, Word, and Wisdom, bless all of us on our way. Amen.